God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministry. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Again today, Dr. Larry Spargimino will be visiting with Gary Miller, author of the book, Why the King James Bible is the Perfect Word of God. As we told you yesterday, Brother Gary is an elder at Grace Harbor Church in Arlington Heights, Illinois. He and his wife, Linda, have also written Bible study books for children 6 to 13 years of age. One of those is The Adventures of Bob and Betty, and we'll be making it, as well as the KJV book, available today. I'll tell you more about that later, but right now let's join Brother Larry and his guest, Gary Miller.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings once again to all of our listeners. Gary, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
We were speaking at the very end of our program yesterday about the importance of the very words of Scripture. God inspired the words of Scripture, and God has inspired and preserved the words of Scripture. Now, I know that there are some who say that God preserved his ideas in the Bible, but not the very words used to express those ideas. Let's develop that a little bit. Isn't it kind of ridiculous to say that God preserved the ideas without preserving the words? Because if you change one little word, and I'm thinking of the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, their Bible, put that in quotes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Just adding that indefinite article, that little one letter A, that changes the whole theological thought and the deity of Jesus. So, speaking about preserving the ideas of Scripture without preserving the words of Scripture, that's lunacy, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, Larry, and we need to go back to the beginning of man, back to the garden, as we talked yesterday. That's what Satan did. Satan added, subtracted the words, and all the Bibles outside of the King James Bible do that. They add words, they subtract words, and just a word of caution. Many times, fundamental evangelical believers criticize people of other faith for putting up man as their authority. And I believe that it's unfortunate, but in some cases, fundamentalist believers do that also. They put their pastor up, they put their Bible teacher up, they put their seminary or Bible school up, and they reinforce their corrupt ideas relative to the Bible. We need to go to the Word of God. The Word of God says, the Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Not the ideas, not the general thoughts, but the words. In John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now, just take your King James Bible and read about the importance that the Lord Jesus Christ put on the very words, and you'll convince yourself that it's the words and not the general idea. So you can dismiss all those Bibles that don't put value on the words.
I'm thinking, as you were speaking about Galatians 3:16, where the Scripture says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So here, according to the Apostle Paul, not simply is the correct word important, but whether it's singular or plural. So not simply the words, but actually maybe the tense, or whether it's singular or plural, whatever. And if that certainly doesn't speak about verbal inspiration, I don't know what does.
Yes. If I can, Larry, let me just list a couple, and I've got a few, but our listeners could add more to it. We profess to believe that we have the actual words of God, and we can trust them. And what I've done is I've put together a brief list, it's not comprehensive by any means, of why we need to have the words. And this should be of evidence to any skeptical listeners relative to God's promise. God's promise to keep and preserve his words is made because his word is important to him for his purposes and will to be accomplished in your life and in mine. God tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the word of God is profitable. And then it goes on to say, all the things is profitable for you and for me, that we would be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, etc. God tells us that his word is powerful to save. The Word of God is a definition of the gospel in addition to good news. And Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We need to have the perfect words of God because it's the power of God unto salvation. We are taught to preach it. And unfortunately, in many pulpits, the word isn't preached anymore. Stories are told, illustrations are given, experiences and circumstances have taken the place of the sound word-by-word preaching of the Word of God. And shame on those pastors who have dismissed the Word of God. But we are told to preach. How can we preach the words of God if we don't have them? The Word of God is to bring faith. We all know the verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Ephesians 2:8-9, a verse we all know, faith, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And how does faith come? Faith comes by the words of God. The Holy Spirit, we know, gave the words of God. It was part of his ministry. Peter tells us this, "For the scriptures came not," or the prophecy came not in old time, "by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And this Holy Ghost that gave the word, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that it's now the sword of the Spirit. And I have to believe, you know, God says to Israel in the Old Testament, "Come now, let us reason together," speaking to them about their sin. I have to believe, as I reason with the Scriptures, that if the Holy Spirit gave the perfect Word of God, and he did, and he knew one of the purposes of that was to be his sword, that he'd preserve his sword because he had a job to do with that offensive weapon. God tells us that we need the Word of God to grow. Peter says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." How can we grow? Well, people say, well, all the words of God are equal. I have a couple of examples of some verses that show us that they're not, Larry. You know as well as I, and a lot of our faithful, godly listeners know, that in 2 Timothy 3:12 we read, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I don't know too many godly saints that have not suffered. The new versions tell us this: "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It's different.
Very different, yeah. And you've got some others that are really, I'm thinking of the New King James rendering of Acts 3:25 and 26. Now, I never noticed that before, but they change son to servant. And I was just going over that this morning, and like I said, I'd never seen that before. And that is really, you know, because a lot of people say, well, the New King James Version is pretty much like the King James Version. Well, here's an example where it's really not, is it?
No, it's not. And I have a lot of Bible versions in my library, but I use them to show their corruptness, not to study from and to augment my study on the King James. The King James Version says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, something that's needed in the church today is a directive from God, a commandment from God, and it's just two simple words: flee fornication. The new versions say flee from sexual immorality. And on the surface, our listeners might say, well, what's the big deal? What's the difference? Sexual immorality? Okay, I'm going to flee from that. Well, the big difference is this. Just stop and reason this for a little bit. You know, Paul tells us that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Let's make a judgment here. There's no question about what fornication is. And if there is, pull up a dictionary and you'll define it. God is very specific. What is sexual immorality? That basically depends on who you're talking to.
That's right. And especially in today's world of shifting moral standards and values, it can mean almost anything.
You cannot prove that fornication is a sin with the new Bibles. And if you're a parent listening today, or a grandparent, or a pastor, or just a saint, and you want instruction for your own life or to help others to know what the will of God is, you need a King James Bible to clarify these. Satan is looking to muddy the waters and to corrupt the Word of God, and he's been successful. One last example, if I can, that's probably more important than the rest. The new Bibles attack the deity of Christ. And believers, if they're going to be jealous and possessive of any truth, it should be the godness of Christ. In Matthew 5, the King James Bible says, The Lord Jesus Christ says this, that whosoever is angry with his brother, and then we read, there's a qualifying clause here, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of something, danger of judgment. Okay, so you can be angry with a brother if you have a cause and not be in danger of judgment according to Christ. Now, we know that in Mark, the Lord healed on the Sabbath, and the religious people, and those are the people that Christ had real problems with, and they continue to be problems today for sound Bible believers, we know that. Christ healed on the Sabbath, and in Mark 3:5 it says, and when he had looked round about on them who have condemned him, you know, because of his healing on the Sabbath, breaking the Sabbath, he looked round about them with anger. Christ was angry when he threw the money changers out of his father's house. The new Bibles take Matthew 5:22 and make it possible to condemn Christ for being angry. They say, but I tell you that anyone that is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. They take out the words without a cause.
So therefore, Jesus is liable to condemnation and punishment, which is an abomination.
Yes, and anybody with any one of these Bibles should see this as the work of Satan. Satan attacks the deity of Christ and wanted to destroy Christ over and over again. When Christ was tempted, Satan wanted Christ to worship him and wanted the stones to be turned to bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. And Christ said that man shall not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The new Bibles take out the last part of that verse, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The world is being prepared for a one-world religion. The world is being prepared for one book, one holy book, unholy book, really, that can be accepted by one and all. Christians today are cooperating with the effort of the Antichrist activity and satanic policy of evil by voluntarily discarding their King James Bibles and moving towards these other books. And the bottom line on all this, and we could talk a long time, is money.
Yes, if you don't understand something, follow the money trail, we often say.
Well, yes, the root of all evil is money. And the King James Bible, as we know, the love of money is the root of all evil. The King James Bible is not copyrighted. If I want to write a book or you want to write a book, you don't have to ask anybody's permission to type the King James verses in your book. But any other book that's copyrighted, that's called the Bible, you need to call the publisher. And, you know, God says his word is not bound. In other words, it's not limited. He's the author. Man wants to put bounds and limits on this book. There's no bounds and limits on the Word of God.
Well, very good. Well, we've been visiting with Brother Gary Miller. Brother Jerry, our announcer, is going to come to the mic and tell us how you may get your own copies of the two books that we are offering by Gary Miller.
Thanks, Brother Larry. The two books are offered together for a gift of $15, and you can get them by calling, writing, or visiting our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. Why the King James Bible booklet is 45 pages in length and is a five-lesson Bible study with fill-in-the-blanks pages. The Adventures of Bob and Betty stories from the Miners Bible Club series is 191 pages in length. Get both when you make a $15 contribution and ask for them. Here again is Brother Larry and his guest, Gary Miller.
Gary, tell us about The Adventures of Bob and Betty.
Well, thank you, Larry. We've got eight stories. As I mentioned in an earlier broadcast, Linda and I have put together the Miners Bible Club program. There's eight books for children to go through from ages 6 through 13. And we've started each Bible study book out with a story. So we've taken each story and put them in this book, The Adventures of Bob and Betty. We believe that that children need to be introduced to the Word of God. First of all, of course, they need to know that God loves them and Christ died for them, and they need to hear a clear gospel. In the first story that we have entitled Mining for Gold, and what kid wouldn't want to mine for gold? I'll just tell a little bit about our story. The kids are on vacation, they find some stones, and they're thrilled. And as time goes on, they head home from their vacation, and they lose their stones, and they're crying. And they try and find them, and here a preacher has found their jar of stones, and they get linked up with the preacher, and they go and pick up their stones with their mom and dad. And the preacher says, these stones are valuable, but can I tell you about something that's far more valuable than mining for gold and things in this earth? And he goes on to tell them about the blood of Christ, how that it was shed for the remission of their sins. And mom and dad, they had a Bible in the home. It was on the coffee table, but it didn't get but dusted off, maybe. And Preacher Buck preaches the grace of God to Bob and Betty and mom and dad, and they trust Christ as their Savior. And then Preacher Buck gives them the most valuable possession he could. He gives them all their own King James Bible, and then they start on a personal Bible study trip, which will take them hopefully throughout their whole life. So that's our first story where the kids get saved. And then we go on from there and we talk about different exciting adventures that they go on that help them to focus their attention on the Lord. There's a lot of books out there that cover Old Testament stories, and those are just wonderful. And we know that the Old Testament is for our learning. And Paul tells us that his books are to us. So we emphasize Romans through Philemon in our book, and we talk about prayer and what our prayer promises are versus what Israel's were. The kids need to know that God's word can be understood. I know that when I was a kid in a Bible church, that we had a Sunday school teacher stand up and say he could go either way on a certain important doctrine. I had trouble with that, and it was eternal security. Either you're saved and you're secure, or you're saved and you're not. And so, actually, we left that church, and we've moved around a little bit since then also. But God's word needs to be rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a key verse there, where it's the only verse in scriptures that tells us to study the scriptures, and it tells us why we should study and how we should study. We should study to be approved, and we should study by rightly dividing the scriptures. All the scriptures are for our learning and for our admonition from Genesis to Revelation, but not all of the scriptures are to us for our application. We can see that in the garden. Adam had two completely and different sets of instruction in the Garden of Eden, once before he sinned and once after he sinned. And as we know, God has changed his instructions to man numerous times down through the ages. And today we live in the age of grace, and Bob and Betty learn about the grace of God through this book.
Well, I must say that The Adventures of Bob and Betty makes great reading for individuals. The book can also be used for bedtime stories, I think youth devotions, children's messages, and so forth. And I certainly am going to use it as a tremendous resource tool in children's messages, and I think pastors and Sunday school teachers and parents will find it very, very valuable. Gary, I noticed that in The Adventures of Bob and Betty that you work into the story Bible truths. In other words, you use Bible truths and Bible themes in unfolding the story. Tell us, in addition to God's love and God's grace, what Bible truths and Bible themes are especially suited to children's books? And how about things like holiness? And how about separation from sin and from evil and from ungodliness?
What keeps a saint pure, in my understanding, is a proper appreciation and thankfulness for what our sin cost Christ on Calvary. When we understand that God hates sin, and so should we, and that our sin is what nailed Christ to the tree, the more we understand about God's grace, the more we understand about what was accomplished at the cross, the holier our life will be. We've got a story in the book about Preacher Buck. Bob and Betty start going to Preacher Buck's church, and they start studying the word rightly divided. And they go on a camping trip, and they go into a forest. And a forest fire comes up and comes at the group of miners that are camping there. And they can't escape, so they have to figure out a way to survive. And Preacher Buck says, well, the fire's coming at us. Let's build a fire right where we're at and burn an area. And And, of course, the children don't quite understand this, but he enlists their help. So they build a fire, and they burn an area out, and they bat it down with their sleeping bags when they're done with it so that it doesn't continue to go. And now Preacher Buck says, the fire is coming at us from the woods. Get inside the area that's been burned. And you know what? We'll be safe because the fire can't burn where it's already burned. There's nothing left there anymore. And that's a picture of Calvary. Christ went to hell for us. Christ took upon himself our sin. And God will not exact a debt twice. The debt for your sin or for my sin was collected by God. God was satisfied with the payment of our sin with Christ on Calvary. We read about the word propitiation, a fully satisfying sacrifice. So in this story, we show how that the example of Preacher Buck's physical wisdom of getting inside an area that's already been scorched is a picture of getting inside of Christ, who's already taken our death and our sin for us.
No question that these stories and the adventures of Bob and Betty are really suited to young people. I know it really connects. The illustrations are very powerful, bring in Bible doctrine, Bible truth. But I must also say that as an adult, I'm enjoying this as well. In fact, some of this material can also be used, I think, for illustrations in sermons in churches and at revival meetings. Just tremendous material.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm going to appeal to the older audience listening, so all those who are older like me, you know, I remember reading the Sugar Creek Gang books by, was it Paul Hutchinson? That kind of gave us the encouragement to go forward, just knowing that you could do something like this, and maybe people would not only buy your book, but have learned from it. Grace is everything that God is free to do for us because of Calvary. And Bob and Betty learn about the grace of God from Preacher Buck. They learn how to live their life by grace rather than by law. I heard a preacher on the radio some months ago, and I wrote him and thanked him for saying this. He said, too many Christians look like Old Testament Jews. There's so much you could preach for hours on that statement. And you know what the church has done, unfortunately, they've taken Israel's program, promises, laws, commandments, and imposed them on the church. They don't belong to us. They belong to Israel. God has given us a new program through the Apostle of Grace, the Apostle Paul, and that's who we talk about to the children for application to their own life of the Scriptures.
Gary, we are just about out of time. Brother, I've really enjoyed these two broadcasts. I do pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and your ministry, and I know that our listeners are very excited about these books, Why the King James Bible is the Perfect Word of God, and The Adventures of Bob and Betty. So, Brother Jerry, come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copies of these two books.
Thanks, Brother Larry. The three ways to contact us for the books are phone, mail, or the Internet. The phone number to call, 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. Or visit our website at swrc.com. Both books will be sent for a gift of $15. You heard quite a bit today about the adventures of Bob and Betty. Remember, you can get both books for a gift of $15 by calling 1-800-652-1144. Writing to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or by visiting the website at swrc.com. No matter how you contact us, would you please let us know the call letters of this station? We really need to hear from listeners over news stations in West Virginia, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Iowa. Plan now to be here tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you that report. In a day when it seems most people could care less for truth, a pastor in New York City is finding that residents of the nation's largest metropolis are hungering for the truth. And that truth is from the Word of God. We're quoting now from OneNewsNow.com. This story was posted on the Internet March 7, 2007. Quote, The pastor of a non-denominational church in New York City says although there are many challenges when it comes to ministering in the nation's largest city, people there are searching for the truth found only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 years ago, Nelson Searcy planted a church in New York City. The journey began with a handful of people a few months after the terror attacks of September 11, 2001, and now has grown to thousands of members who meet in three locations throughout the New York metro area. "I think unchurched people are looking for truth," the pastor observed. And while they may bristle at the truth, or they may at first glance have to contemplate that truth, they have an astute radar if there's someone who they feel like is watering it down, or who's tricking them. I think the idea that we would soft sell the gospel on the front end and then somehow tell them the truth in the back room somewhere just isn't going to work, he adds. In fact, the New York City pastor says his experience has shown him that because people are looking for the truth, it is not necessary to water down the gospel in order to attract them. One of the big misconceptions in our day is that if you want to reach the unchurched effectively, you have to water down the basic message of the gospel. But I don't think that's true, Searcy shares. What we found in working with churches across America is that those churches that are clearest about the claims of Christ and about the claims of the gospel actually attract more unchurched people than those that water it down. And Searcy confesses that he is not fond of modern-day terms like seeker-friendly when describing a church. "I think you're either teaching the full gospel and the Bible, or you're not," he says. Close quotes. To which we say, amen. The Bible says that Paul wrote to the Romans telling them of the power of the gospel to save. We read, quote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Close quotes. That's from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And that's today's Bible in the News report, which is a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. If you would like a copy of the booklet, call, write, or visit our website to place your order. We would ask that you please include a gift of $3 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Let me repeat that number, 1-800-652-1144. Or you may write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. A third way to get a copy of the Bible in the News Question and Answer magazine is through our website, which is located at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer over this radio station.